Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everybody, this is David Nagel. I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we're going to address a question that has I get a lot. And the question is, how do I deal with someone who is dysfunctional, basically? In other words, no matter what solution a person comes up with, they're dealing with somebody who's dysfunctional where that solution does not work. So one of the things that we always say is you can't make sense out of crazy. And what does that mean? That means that there's no logical component to a dysfunctional mind. It is something that it's extraordinarily difficult to deal with if you're dealing with a person that you come across in your life who thinks this way. So what I want to kind of try to do is explain how a person got this way, what is the problem that you're experiencing, and how do you come to a solution for you to set yourself free of the aggravation that goes with coming across a person like this in your life. So the first thing that I want to say is that The what we need to understand the most in this situation is ourselves. That's really what we need to understand the most. Our sense of right and wrong, our sense of wanting to fix things, our sense of wanting, craziness in our life to stop, wanting normalcy, wanting peace, wanting to just move on with our lives. That is a healthy way to be thinking. And whatever it is that the situation that you're dealing with, a person who's thinking from a healthy place thinks, okay, I want resolution and I want to be able to move forward. That's what we should be looking for. But a dysfunctional mind does not think that way. They want to stay in the drama. They want to keep creating more drama. Answers and solutions don't work for them because they're coming from an internal dialogue that's flawed to begin with. And you have to understand that part of our dialogue is also flawed. And let me explain why. Because we get stuck in the idea that we can fix this, that we can get the person to understand where we're coming from. We can get the person to want to make a sane, logical decision for whatever the problem is. Basically, we're hope addicts, for lack of a better term, because we're constantly hoping that the solution will resolve, that there's something about this that's going to get better, but it never will, because the other person that you're dealing with, or the other people that you're dealing with, they're really not looking for a solution. So how does a dysfunctional mind work? Well, I mean, we can spend months on this when it comes to a dysfunctional mind, but I want to give you just an overall idea of what's going on in the brain of someone who is thinking in a way that really does not, you can't ever get to a solution with them. Nothing's ever good enough. You're always wrong. There's always a problem. What's actually happening in the mind of this individual that's creating this issue so that you can recognize it? And when you recognize it, I'm going to tell you exactly how it is that you have to deal with it in order to move on with your own life. So it all goes back to when we're kids, prior to the age of 7. All programming goes back to those early formidable years in our life. And we have to understand that the laws of the universe, primarily, foundationally, are guides for us to learn how to think logically, to learn how to think with the idea of more life, to learn how to think in a direction that puts us on our path for our life purpose. It is for more life. It is for a positive outcome. It is for benefiting other people. It is for benefiting ourselves. It is not meant for chaos and craziness and dysfunction and death and disease. All of that stuff comes from confusion in the universe. And what we're dealing with a person who's thinking dysfunctionally is really confusion. The idea of cause and effect, the way it works in a healthy mind, is much different than it works in a dysfunctional mind. Cause and effect is always looking for what is the cause, what is the positive outcome that comes from this cause. And if I have an effect in my life that's not a positive outcome, then I should be thinking to myself, something's wrong. But here's where the jig is up in this, because it's in a healthy mind, a person goes, I'm the cause. In a dysfunctional mind, the person says everything else is the cause. Both effects may be very similar, right? Because everybody goes through life experiencing effects that they don't necessarily want to experience. But when you're dealing with a person where the wires are kind of crossed as far as cause and effect, they believe that the world is happening to them. They really don't think that they have the power to change it. Now, they may say all day long that they have the power to change it or they're powerful. They make great vows of amendment for their life. But the truth of the matter is, by the results that they're getting, it demonstrates that they don't, because they're always looking at what something else is doing to them, what someone else is doing to them, how someone else is causing them to be or causing them to feel or causing them to experience their world. And they can't get out of that circular thinking. It just stays in that pattern over and over and over again. So what we're dealing with is a person who developed as an idea of cause and effect as a child, that they were responsible for the way that other people felt. Now, I'm giving you a general overview here. I'm not doing a deep dive into this. I do a deep dive into this at some of the events that we do. So you could go to davidnagel.com. You could look at the next time that we're doing an event, and you can come and watch as we go into a deep dive around this, especially when we talk about the subconscious mind. But for general understanding, and really a general understanding is enough for most people to make a change, as long as you're not too much of a hope addict yourself, and which I'll address here in a minute. But if you think about this from the perspective of that the person who's thinking dysfunctionally, at some points in their childhood, they're experiencing the trauma of having how other people felt blamed on them. They were the cause of other people's pain. And when that is drilled into a child's head over and over and over again, now you can imagine that person has to come out into the world and really feel that everything that they're feeling is the fault of someone else also, because that's how they learned cause and effect around what it is that they're feeling. So let's say that they had a parent that was an alcoholic or a drug addict or physically abusive or mentally abusive or verbally abusive or sexually abusive or financially abusive. Maybe they were not present in that child's life. Maybe they abandoned that child. The big thing is that maybe that they blamed. They blamed that child, and they blamed other people, and they blamed life for what they were experiencing. All of the major dysfunctions that we see in life, such as abuse and substance abuse, those types of things, really come from some point of victimization to begin with. And because the person can't get to a resolution in their mind, they can't make the pain go away, they abuse things, whether it's other people or substances. but they abuse, and that's what abuse does. Abuse is really an attempt to make the pain go away, but it won't go away. So it's always numbing or projecting, numbing or projecting, numbing or projecting. Now, when you come across a person like this, it can be in various different intensities or extremes. You could have somebody who's mildly abusive. Maybe they're just abusing themselves a little bit, or they could be to the other extreme where they're very abusive to other people and themselves. And the thread that runs through this, though, is that you're going to find a common theme running through the verbiage of their life, and it's really about what everybody else is doing that's causing them to experience life the way that they're experiencing it. Now, these people, they literally cannot perceive it to be the other way around because they're being controlled emotionally by what it is that they're experiencing in life. And there's so much pain going on subconsciously, emotionally for them that they're seeing, they're filtering life and everything that comes with it through that emotional mindset, which is very difficult. It can be very difficult to deal with. So when you have a conversation with this person, and if you've ever dealt with somebody like this, you'll know exactly what I mean. It's you sit there kind of bewildered at their inability to make sense out of how to solve a problem in their life or get themselves to do something or get themselves to stop doing something. It's really not that difficult in life to start doing something or stop doing it. If you have a problem and you see that you have a problem, that it's causing an issue in your life, and you can identify what it is that you're doing, who you're being or doing in your life that's causing this problem, you could say, I'm no longer going to be or do that. And you stop doing that. You recognize that it's probably habitual, so you give yourself time to go through the process of dropping a habit and creating a new one, which has to happen simultaneously. You can't just let something go and leave the door open. You have to replace it with something that is going to be positive. Then in a very short period of time, you can change everything. A person who's coming from a dysfunctional mind has a very difficult time getting to this place, because their approach is not to change themselves. Their approach is not to recognize and ask, what is it in my behavior that is causing this problem? Their approach is, it's everything that you're doing to me. So they're seeing everything through that lens of that pain in their life. So what do they do then? They try to change you, or they try to change the situation, or they try to change the circumstance. The focus is not on how do I create it, it's how do I get life or this person or this situation to stop doing this to me. Even if they are successful and they get a person to apologize and they get a person to make recompense and they get a person to whatever it is, they still will not feel good inside, so it'll never be enough. The behavior does not change, and the healthy person is sitting there going, "Okay, so why is it? You know, if this person would just understand, if we try one more time, if we send another email, if we send another letter, if we have another conversation, if I say I'm sorry one more time, whatever." All this that's going through your mind is a little dysfunctional also. And that it's coming from the idea that you think that by another bold attempt on your part or another sincere attempt on your part, that they're going to change the way that they're thinking about you or the situation. They don't have the ability to change that because they can't take responsibility for themselves. They only see what you've done wrong in life. That's it. And you're the source of their pain. That's what they believe. They project it all onto everything around them, and they don't take it in for themselves. That means that we have to step back, and we have to say, number one, if I'm really being insistent upon trying to help this person or hoping that they're eventually going to change, why is it that I'm stuck on that idea? And we really need to do a deep dive for ourselves and ask ourselves why I'm stuck on that idea. We call these people hope addicts. Sometimes there's some codependency that might be going on there. If you think that you may be codependent, I suggest that you get Melody Beattie's book, Codependency No More. It's probably one of the best books ever written on codependency, and it's been revised and revised and revised over the years. It's a great piece of work. But I really believe that we see this in a lot in relationships where you have one person that is going in one direction in their life, and that direction, whatever it is that they're doing, they're trying to step in, make their life better. They're doing something that makes them happier. Whatever it might be, becomes threatening to the person that's their partner. Now, this could be in an intimate relationship, such as a marriage or a lover, or it could be a friend. It could be a business partner, or it could be social or business acquaintances at work. It could be any other person who's involved in your life on a regular or semi-regular basis, where you decide that you want to do something different, and you're not doing anything to that person, but the difference that you're making is triggering that other person to go into their pain. So then when they go into their pain, they have to make you wrong. And they want to do nothing but continue to make you wrong because they don't know how to resolve their own pain. You are coming from the place of, how can I fix this person? How can I make this better? How can I help this person to understand? And you're staying in the explanation phase or the forgiveness phase or the promising phase or the hope phase way too long. This is not by any means to say that there are not some people that just need a little bit time to catch up in their own, in you know, what they're doing for their own life. I think everybody goes along at their own speed as far as that is concerned. But I'm talking about a person who absolutely refuses to see anything other than their own point of view and has to make you wrong or the situation wrong or the results wrong or the environment wrong or the circumstances wrong consistently for them to feel better. It's like they won't get over it, they won't get past it, they won't move on. And when I've had clients that are in this situation, and I'll be talking to them, it's the same. The conversation, uncannily, is the same way all the time. They're always saying to me, "Why can't he or she just see this? Why won't he or she just step into their own purpose or their promise or their possibility for life?" And my response is, "You can't make sense out of crazy." In other words, I'm not saying crazy in a derogatory way. I'm basically saying you can't make sense out of a confused mind. There's not a logical component. Now, what is a logical component? A logical component is being able to understand and think according to, based on the laws. So the number one law that we're working with here is the law of cause and effect. And that is really understanding what is a cause and what is an effect. What cause creates the effect? And that can get very twisted in a person's mind when they're not actually taught cause and effect in their life. I mean, if you really think about it, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, if you're raised in a situation where the people around you, all of them or most of them, believe with an emotional intensity, by the way, that the things that are going on in life are happening to them, and that they're in the situation that they are because of other people, and that they can't change it until the other people change, then they're stuck in the victimization of the way that they see the world, which means they do not have a clear understanding of cause and effect. It's a fine line whenever I talk about this, because I know that it pisses some people off to the nth degree, because some people want to stay stuck in a victim mode. They come from the place of, oh, you're victim shaming, or you don't understand, this person was violated or victimized by another person. Well, first of all, I do understand that sometimes people are victimized. I do understand that there are perpetrators and predators out there that do things to other people. But when you, now I'm gonna split this so that I make sure that I'm gonna try, that you have a clear understanding of where I'm coming from with this. Number one, children have very little choice about the environment that they're in. So unless somebody comes along to try to help them get out of a bad environment, they don't have much of a choice other than to try to figure out a way to survive the environment that they're in. So I don't believe that most children are in a position where they can actually change this for themselves. Unfortunately, what that leads to is them having to change it after they've developed a whole series of issues in their life as an adult. But it doesn't mean that it can't be changed. It can be changed. I was a person who changed it in my life. I've seen thousands of people change this in their lives. If that's an issue for you, you can change it in your life. I don't believe that there's anybody that is so broken or so off track in their life that it can't be changed. I absolutely refuse to believe that. Even though there are psychiatrists that think that there's certain mental illnesses or disabilities that can't be changed, I don't believe that that's true. I think that if a door opens in a person's mind enough and they have the desire to make a change, that with enough work, discipline, education, that person can actually be changed. Are there a lot of people who won't because they refuse to open that door? Yes, that's absolutely true also. So now you have children who've been victimized. Is it their fault? No, it's not their fault. They've been victimized. There is an argument, however, that, and I shouldn't say argument, I should say more discussion, as to how do you want to believe that we actually came into this world? I don't believe we came into the world as victims. I believe at some level, energetic, higher conscious, higher vibration, whatever you want to call it, that we chose to come into the world in the way that we did, with the parents that we did, with the people that were around us, that raised us. And I also say with complete respect and understanding, there are a lot of people that had horrible childhoods. Now, we can either say to ourselves, well, we were victimized and all this stuff happened to us, which is true. I'm not saying it's not true. And our whole life becomes about punishing those individuals. Instead of asking ourselves, what did I learn from this? What can I take away from this? Why was I in that situation? And go do something positive to have a positive effect on other people in our life. Punishing someone else doesn't make your pain go away, and it doesn't erase the past. Now, does that mean that I don't believe that somebody should be disciplined or punished or even perhaps locked up or whatever for doing atrocities? I absolutely do believe that those things should take place. But I don't believe that we should spend our entire life and our entire focus on doing that, because the law of polarity states that you have to have, in order for one thing to exist, you have to have its opposite at the same time. So in order for crime to exist, we have to have the law. And in order for law to exist, we have to have crime. If those two things, if one ceased to exist, so would the other one. Now, that might be a lot to think about, but if you really sit and think about it, it's true, because what happens is that it's our mind that gives everything meaning. It's our mind that creates the good and bad out of everything. I am not trying to tell people that there are not bad things in the world the way that we see them. What I'm saying is that as you shift your perception, which is also based on another universal law called the law of relativity, what ends up happening is it allows us to escape the prison of being victimized. Because when a person is victimized, very often they're put in a mental prison that they don't know how to escape from. So the law of relativity says nothing is good or bad, right or wrong, big or small, until you compare it to something else. And it's through the comparison that determines how we are perceiving the experience that we have. And if we're constantly perceiving the experience that we have as disempowering, victimized, wrong, angry, hurt, we stay in that place and we can't get out of it. Because we're under, either consciously or unconsciously, we're thinking, if somebody's punished, if somebody's disciplined, if somebody's life is destroyed, if we can get revenge in some way, it's going to make us feel better. And actually, it doesn't. It doesn't make the source of our pain any better whatsoever. Once we get our revenge out on one person, then we'll start looking for another one. So the whole idea is to realize that everything in life happens for a reason. Well, once we understand the reason, we begin to link the true idea of cause and effect in our mind, which is that everything is moving towards more life. Everything is moving towards more life. And the idea is that if we bring life and we bring enlightenment and we bring consciousness to the world that is living in the dark. But we do that not by telling another person or beating them or insisting that they change. We do it by being an example of what that light looks like ourselves. And as we're an example of what that light looks like for ourselves, it becomes more attractive to other people as time goes on. And as the masses begin to shift, the masses begin to shift. So what do we do when we run into person or people that are coming from a place of dysfunctional thinking? The idea is that we respect the fact that a person has the right to think any way that they want as long as they are not interfering in another person's life. And that means that you have to make a choice as to whether you want the dysfunction in your life or not. If you don't want the dysfunction in your life, which is the healthy choice, then you walk away from what's causing the dysfunction. You shut off all of the doors of entry to that dysfunction so that you can move forward with your life. If you find yourself having a hard time with that, then it's not about looking at the other person, it's about looking at yourself. What is it about you that wants to stay in dysfunction? Why do you want to stay in that? It's not healthy for you. It doesn't allow you to grow. It holds you in the same place and then eventually starts bringing you down. So the whole key is that you ask yourself, if I feel a pull to stay in this, why? Get help if you need to. You can go to therapy, you can go to counseling, you can get coaching. There's lots of ways to get help. Let go of the addiction to the person, the drama, the dysfunction, whatever it might be, because it is an addiction, believe it or not. And begin to accept responsibility for yourself. Start charting a path of cause and effect for where you want to go in your life. Build a great grand vision for what you want to do. Discipline yourself and be persistent in the pursuit of that vision. Never quit, never get up. Just say yes to whatever it is that needs to change to allow that vision to come to fruition in your life and live the very best life that you possibly can. And remember, you can't make sense out of crazy, so don't even try. All right, guys, this is David Nagel. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/startHere. See you next week.